You're listening to the Food Talk Show. My name's Sue Nelson and you're listening to the Food Talk Show. Today we're going to have a whole programme devoted to speciality and fine food fair, and this is a fair on every year, and this is normally in September, and here we have, it's at Olympia, it's only for the trade, so all the buyers tend to come here from supermarkets and from delis and farm shops to see what's new and to see what they should be stocking in their retail outlets, and it's a really great place to come and visit. Mainly for us, because there's a huge discovery zone, and the discovery zone is full of new products and new companies and new people who are doing something different and extraordinary. So we've definitely been wandering around there, having a good old taste and a good old chat with a few people, and we've got some great interviews there. Also, there's a chocolate trail, so any of you who like chocolate, basically you can come here all day and go through all these different different stands tasting chocolate, and some of that's from all around the world. And I'm just looking across the balcony here, and at Olympia there are 700 stalls here, 700 stalls, companies from Japan, there's a whole Spanish section, there's a whole French section, and as I said, there's a discovery zone, and also there's some live demos. So it's a huge, huge exhibition. We love coming here, we love talking to people and seeing what the new trends are. And myself and Guy Routledge, as you know, from the Food Rush, are going to interview some of our favourite people. So first of all, we've got four interviews, actually, made by Noble, Ossa Organic, one of my favourites, and Real Remedies, and we've got Amelie Oysters. So let's see what you think. So it's the second day of Speciality and Fine Food Fair at Olympia, and it's just warming up. It's about 10 o'clock-ish in the morning. It's expected to be absolutely packed, isn't it, Guy?
It is indeed, and it's already quite warm up here. We're on the top level of the Olympia building, and well, we're under the lights as well, and it's getting a little bit warm. We're very close today as well, Sue, which is rare.
I don't normally sit this close to you, no, that's right. I'm with Kate Prince, and she's got an amazing website called Made in Noble. It looks absolutely beautiful. Kate, hi there. Tell us all about your wonderful drinks.
Hi, thanks for having me on. So I came up with the idea, we actually launched a tea company about 3-4 years ago, and it's going really well and really lovely. It was up with my husband, but we kind of got into then looking at things like turmeric and other delicious kind of flavours and ingredients and raw foods. And actually it suddenly became apparent to me that you couldn't just absorb, you basically needed to digest something, you couldn't just infuse it through tea. So that became apparent that we needed to do a powder. And at that point, I started looking on the market at lovely kind of other superfood powders that were out there, and actually understanding that there was very little that actually tasted really nice. And I thought, well, if I'm going to digest all these incredible flavours and tastes, and we use things like moringa and baobab and avocado and kale and acai berry and all these beautiful things that our planet kind of can offer us, then actually it should taste really nice as well. So I set out to create different flavours, same nutritional potency, and beautiful ingredients, there's a lot of the superfood mixes, but hopefully that actually what they do is they taste really good too, so you actually want to have them on a daily basis.
Because turmeric's getting a real health thing at the moment, isn't it? Everybody's making all sorts of claims about turmeric.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really taste that nice, does it? So is that what you're talking about? Taking that sort of thing, thinking it's got an amazing health properties, so how do we blend it, I guess is what you're saying, to make sure it tastes amazing?
So, you know, turmeric does have a kind of sort of fibrous taste to it. And I think if you make it at home, it can be a very messy experience. And actually, what you have to do is you have to very carefully blend it. There are a lot of, there are a few, basically, turmeric kind of powders that are on the market currently, and it is incredibly potent as a ingredient, and it does really great things for you. But actually what we've done is tried to do something a bit different. So we've actually added in some lovely sweetness with some actual beautiful licorice root. We've also added in pea and hemp protein, and what that's going to do to you is it thickens it up lovely, but it also gives it this incredible base, and actually it makes you, helps you feel fuller for longer. It's great pre and post workout, so it's actually going to help you like relax out your muscles. And I think because we've spent so much time and understand blending and flavors and taste, and that was really the whole USP for Noble, I think it does taste really good, and I think you should come and try some, actually.
But you might have to go on your stand, don't you?
I'm going to go and have a look for sure, because, I mean, it looks fantastic, and I would really like to taste it, because just it'd be great to understand a little bit more. So it's a powder, and it's got these superfood bits and pieces in it. Is the powder the only thing that you use to make a drink, or is it an additive to like a tea or a chocolate or a coffee or something like that?
So do you just use it and make a nice cup of tea as usual is what we're asking, I guess.
Yeah. I think it'd be kind of strange if you added it to your English breakfast, but maybe we could try it when you come over. A lot of the products, a lot of the turmeric lattes actually are made from a very high percentage of milk powder. I've got no milk powder in my products. I think that's a complete kind of filler, and it's a cheap product, and I don't think it has any relevance in a beautiful kind of ingredient like this. What you would do is you would then add in your milk of choice. So whether that's a beautiful organic cow's milk, an almond milk, or an oat milk, for example, you can pick. And then you would just basically mix it up. Some of them are actually fantastic with hot water as well. We have a beautiful wild green which has matcha in and avocado and kale. It's lovely, it's alkalining. You could have that cold on ice, perhaps even add in a little bit of rum, you know, a little mojito moment.
Not for breakfast.
Now you're talking.
We could do an upbeat. Our upbeat is basically if you use a milk base to make up your drink, then you're introducing yourselves into a beetroot latte market. But if you have, and this was my baby actually, this is what, kind of where I started, if you have hot water, what I really wanted was a nutritious, I grew up having these lovely hot Ribenas, and actually full of sugar, sadly, but delicious, Novi. And so what I wanted to do was to create Noble, where we had this hot fruity drink, for me was so reminiscent of my childhood, but actually no sugar, fantastic ingredients. We've got lovely percentage of beetroot powder in there. We've got things like kale in there. We've got Siberian ginseng in there. So you kind of get, and again, it's really high protein. It's got over 33 grams per 100 of protein, and it's super high fiber.
Well, definitely health teas are big on this show. I think it's definitely a good trend at the moment, don't you think? I'm seeing them here.
Absolutely. I had a bit of a walk around this morning before we started recording, and lots of kind of, you know, things with benefits, I think is the term that we use.
Things with benefits.
Products with benefits, drinks or nuts or bars or all sorts of different things. You know, people want more from their food these days. They want something that tastes great but is also good for them.
Yeah, definitely. So Noble looks fantastic. Where can we find it?
So we launched about 2.5 months ago, not very long. We're brand new. You can find it on our website, which is madebynoble.earth, which I love my domain name. We launched straight into Harvey Nichols. We're found there. We're in Daylesford Organic. And there's quite a few other retailers which we're about to go into in September with a smaller size. So currently we're at 250 grams, which gives you about 50 servings. We're about to introduce 150 gram size, which is a 30 serving. And we've actually just got vegan certification and organic certification. So we're kind of doing a big launch in September with our smaller size. And
tick all the boxes. Go on the website as well.
The website is beautiful, highly recommended. And it sounds like you're doing so well in such a short space of time as well. And everything looks fantastic. Really well done.
Yeah, well done. So madebynoble.earth. And we look forward to seeing your company grow. Thanks very much, Kate.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm with Catherine Farrant of the Bone Broth Company. Is it Bone Broth Company or do you call it Ossa?
We call it Ossa Organic because we started with bone broth, but we're now an organic gut healing food business.
Yeah, so you don't want to be defined by one product, do you, with your name, I guess?
We did to begin with because bone broth was really what started the whole movement, but we've now realised that gut health is so much more than bone broth, so we don't really want to be defined by just bone broth.
So I've tasted this loads of times because I buy it. You have not had it before, have you, Guy?
I have not tried it yet. I've seen them at a number of different shows, though. I think possibly when it was just the bone broth. But you now have a beef fat product as well.
That's correct. We've very much kind of created an ethos of minimizing waste. And that's kind of underlined by the fact that we are a B Corp business now. And so the tallow, which is the beef fat, has very much come from that reducing of waste. When you boil bone broth, when you boil the bones with the apple cider vinegar and the organic veg, a lot of the fat rises to the top, and we quickly realized that it was just being thrown in the bin, and it was like gold dust. It was amazing, beautiful, clean fat from the best animals you could find. And so we render that now, and we have what we call the tallow, which people are loving because they're moving away from genetically modified seed oils and using canola oil and stuff like that, and actually moving back towards clean fats, coconut oil starting that revolution, and now back to good old-fashioned tallow, which you can roast, make the best roast potatoes ever.
Is that what my mum used to call lard?
Absolutely, but lard... Dripping. Yeah.
Dripping, yeah, dripping.
Exactly, drippings. Lard comes from pigs and tallow comes from cows.
I didn't know that, you know. I did not know that.
I love that we get to learn something new every time on this show. So it sounds, the process that you've described, which is boiling bones, sounds very similar to the way that I would make a stock. So is this a stock that we'd use in making a sauce or in cooking, or is it something you would have just on its own?
It's a very good question, and we have a lot of people coming to me and saying, what's a stock and what's a bone broth? A stock is a thinner version of a bone broth that hasn't been cooked for as long. So what we do is we use the highest quality animal bones, as I said, free range and organic for the chicken and grass fed and organic for the beef. And we boil on a low and slow heat for 24 hours. A stock is more, take a chicken carcass after your meal, pour some water on top of it and quickly blitz it for 3 or 4 hours. And then, so it's a much more gentle process of getting all the minerals and nutrients out. Bone broth is longer cooked and simmered, and stock is a shorter kind of higher heat process.
There you go. Now, I actually drink this stuff.
And you drink it as like a soup, do you?
Drink it now. Look, we've got one has magically appeared in front of you.
It's wonderful. Let me just have a sniff first. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that good? You just know it's good for you because you just smell it all. See how nice that is? Mm. Look at his face.
Oh, my. There are no words. It's just beautiful. So light, but so full of flavour. Like when you have normal like stocks or gravy or something like that, they're usually quite salty. This has got very, very clean, no saltiness to it really.
No aftertaste. That's
No. Wow. That.
I'm so glad. The look on your face is really what we were talking about.
So what have we got here?
This is actually a bone broth based soup, which we're just about to launch. We've trademarked the word broop, which we hope is going to become an amazing term that people are just going, have you got broop? Get broop. Broop for lunch, broop for dinner, broop for breakfast. And this is a chicken broop, which means that it's 35 to 40% bone broth based. So you're getting all the nutrients and the goodness in the bone broth, but we've left the bits in it. So instead of straining the vegetables and the chicken, we've got big chunks of organic chicken thighs and delicious fresh organic vegetables from the farm. I look at Guy and it's like he's getting a hug from some ethereal being. It really is a healing type of food, which is what we always wanted. The collagen and the gelatin kind of lines your lips a bit, and you'll feel like your lips get a bit sticky after drinking it. And it's just full of all the goodness of clean traditional food. And I like the way you said the word light, because a bone broth is very nourishing and rich in what it gives the body, but very light in the effect it has on the body, which is why a lot of people drink it for IBS, digestion, healing of the intestinal tract, cancer patients, anyone that suffers from irritable bowel, anything like that. It's a very clean and healing kind of food for the stomach.
I have to say though, Guy, you see, you think that's nice. You haven't tasted the beef bone broth. You think that's good.
Well, I'm in the very fortunate position that I can just wander down the corridor to our lovely friends at Ossa and maybe try a bit later on.
Please. So in terms of the company, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to sell it retail, or what's your sort of ambitions there?
We have gone straight through retail at the get-go because we actually had one of the retailers that was quite forward-thinking coming to us in the early stages, and I say that being 2 years ago and saying bone broth, we want it, we love it, and we go, want to get to know it. Whereas a lot of other people are like, what is that? I don't get it. I don't understand it. So at the moment, we're available through Whole Foods, Ocado, Planet Organic, and a lot of private farm stalls and individuals. And that's kind of the way we're going. We will have an e-commerce site shortly, and that is because we get a lot of people that love it and they want to drink a cup every day. So they're buying 6 or 7 a week, freezing some, and then using a pouch every single day for family, pets. Exactly.
That's what I do.
That's what Sue does, so it's perfect. And so you can come online and then you can start buying 6 or 7 in a bundle order. And while you're there, you might then want to try the fish broth, get a bit of iodine into your diet, try one of our Asian rice noodle fish dishes, and then you can kind of bundle order. So that's kind of where we're heading.
And you need to go onto the website Ossa Organic. So it's OSSA, ossaorganic.com. I personally would recommend it. You hadn't had it before. Your recommendation?
I'm converted. I've been trying lots of interesting things today, and so far nothing has disappointed. And I'm you know, over the moon to be here. It's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much, Sue and Guy.
I'm sitting opposite James. Got your name then, James Jacoby, and I'm with Guy, obviously, and we've got a bottle in front of us. It looks like something out of have you been watching that program called Quacks about doctors from the like Victorian times?
I haven't. No, I thought you were going to say something about ducks for a minute.
No. And it looks like something, you know, somebody would stand up on a soapbox and say, "This will cure your gout. This will cure your, you know, gallstones. This will make your hair grow,
hair on your chest,
and
yeah,
all that sort of stuff." It looks like that, doesn't it? It looks like one of those.
The shape of the bottle is you know, reminiscent of one of those kind of, you know, old fashioned medicine kind of things. And the brand is Real Remedies, and our friend is going to tell us all about it.
And this says Fire Number One Fire Tonic, inspired by an ancient recipe. Right. So James, we do actually think this is slightly bonkers. You don't, but tell me all about it.
This was our first product. My wife worked in the city for over a decade in an investment bank, very high pressure, working with the traders, and it got ill a lot. So we did some research, and we came up across this recipe, ancient recipe. Nobody really knows where it came from.
Where? Just like on a piece of paper or on the internet or what?
Yeah, I mean, we found it eventually. We were going through...
That sounds very weird.
We found a variety of different recipes. This one sort of resonated with us. And we used it for our own benefit. It reduced my wife's illnesses from around a dozen a year to 1 or 2. And even the intensity of those were very mild. And so it really benefited us. And we started to produce it for friends and family. And then as the production increased, so we started to sell it to other people. And that was the first of our 31 products we now produce.
Wow. I'm a bit worried about where you get these from.
some ancient recipe, yeah, translated from some ancient language, perhaps.
So come on, like, have you just been rooting around trying to find old-fashioned things from what sort of centuries ago? And what countries?
And what we found was it was an old English, sort of gypsy, pagan, almost, recipe. But when you look at the ingredients, they're all they're understood to be very beneficial. Horseradish, turmeric, onion, garlic, chili, apple cider vinegar, and honey was used by Einstein every morning to boost his health. And it's incredibly good. I mean, we have to be careful, obviously, with the health claims. But, you know, you taste it and you can get a sense of what it is and how you feel about it.
Guy, are you up for trying some of this then? This will boost your intelligence up to the level of Einstein, apparently.
I'm definitely up for trying it. I like spicy stuff, so I'm very open to this. I know, Sue, you're not a huge fan of the spiciness.
I do. I just like it at a decent level, whereas you like your head blown off and I don't. So I'm going to let you taste it first. So you're going to give me a little warning.
Well, the question I was going to ask next, well, before I take a sip of this, is this something that you would drink like in a long glass, or is it a shot every morning, or how are we drinking this?
I love it as a shot. I have around 20, 25 mils every morning, or especially when I feel a bit of something coming on in the throat or it's feeling a bit under the weather. Really works for me and whoever else tries it. People have been reporting their hay fever is eliminated, sinusitis. And it really kind of boosts people's vitality.
I'm just tasting it. Wow, that's
Well, I haven't tasted it yet, but I've given it a smell, and you get that kind of apple cider vinegar on the nose, and a little bit of kind of spiciness in the background there. There's chili in this one, is there?
Yes.
It's not chili hot though.
But it's not chili.
No, you're fine. Well, I'm fine, and that says something. It's vinegar. No, you're going to cough like hell now you've done that.
Oh, it's nice. I like that a lot. I really like vinegar though, and I like, you know, whole grain mustard with the vinegariness. So that's really, really great. I can see why I clean your sinuses out though.
Yeah. Well, some people have virtually no impact in terms of intensity, like yourself just now. And there was one guy who tried it yesterday who I was really worried was going to actually die, that he was coughing and spluttering so much.
I think that's a very similar experience to what Sue is having here.
And splutter over that, over oh god, vinegar, and you don't.
I've no idea. I mean, it is a flavour that I like, so perhaps it's something I'm more used to tasting and enjoying. But I guess the feeling that you get from it is the vinegariness that I don't even know how you would describe that flavour, but it's not spicy. It's just,
it reminds me of a dressing actually on a salad. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be great as a salad dressing, yeah. Although probably not how it's designed.
Well, certainly, yeah, you can have it as a salad topping or a shot, or you can mix it with juices. We were currently running an alternate cocktail bar, so we also have a range of herbal bitters, extracted botanicals. So after we designed this initially, my wife had a vision during a meditation session in which she realized that she was destined to produce a range of products that were based around the chakras. So as a result of that, we bought over 400 different plants and herbs and spices and roots and flowers, and our house became an apothecary. And we put together, so we worked with a herbal medic on the one side and an intuitive healer on the other. So it was kind of left brain, right brain experience. And we just charted where all of these different plants kind of had their registered medicinal properties. Registered or authenticated by the government, what they actually did in terms of systems and organs and effects. And then we worked with the healer to actually sense where these plants affected in the body, in the energy body, in our essential body. And we came up with the seven most powerful combinations, which worked with each of the seven chakras, and they were in our tinctures. So we have a tincture range, which you need like one or two drops under the tongue. And we have a range of healers and therapists who are working with their clients using these as tools. And then we decided to produce a range of teas, which also work with the chakra system. And they had to...
Can you imagine going around their house, Guy? I mean, it just must be insane.
The tour of the house must take a long time. Yeah, you can imagine shelves and shelves of small, dusty bottles. And,
you know, and then you've got Gandalf playing on the flute, you know, and there's all sorts of healers. I just imagine in your house, try this.
I think you've had too much vinegar.
Isn't that pretty much what it's like?
Oh, absolutely. We actually have a yogic monk living with us now who has designed our cocktail range. So we put together... We realized there was one thing missing. My wife went on a retreat one weekend and was sharing what we'd done with the group. And the guy who was assisting, yogic monk in training, shared his vision. He used to be a bartender in the Manchester...
Lots of people have visions around your house.
So what is a yogic monk, just out of interest? I'm not up to speed on my monk range.
He was a yogic master in training. So he was training to become a yogic master, if you like. So he was assisting his master at this retreat. My wife was on. And she was sharing what we'd done, and he was sharing his vision, because he used to work in the Manchester club scene. He was a bartender at some of the very highest top nightclubs in Manchester. And it was kind of a dark period in his life, and he ended up in prison. And that's where he turned his life around and became a yogi monk in training after he came out. And he shared this vision of creating an alternate non-alcoholic experience for people who didn't drink, or to encourage people who did drink to perhaps experience something else. So in a very short space of time, we put together...
What you're saying is not taste something else, but have something to drink, and then you feel something like you would do if you were slightly tiddled.
Absolutely. So there are plants, you know, that have effects. And when you put them in the right kind of blends, you just have to experience it for yourself.
I do need your address because I'm going to make sure I don't go anywhere near your house.
It sounds like a really fascinating kind of combination of all sorts of different things. So you have, did you say 31 different products?
Yes.
In the forms of these kind of drinkable remedies, the tinctures where it's just like a little drop of oil or something. And do you put those in the cocktails or is it just like straight down the hatch?
Yeah, you can have them straight, or we do actually add them to the cocktails as well.
Well, I don't even know what to say anymore, really. Apart from the fact, you've got to go on to realremedies.co.uk, and we haven't really made much sense of it, but the website makes more sense of it, doesn't it?
Sure. And we've been exploring where our audience is, and we've done a few festivals over the past couple of months, and it really is the people who are trying to find an alternative experience for the evening. We were at Into the Wild, which is a non-alcoholic conscious festival. So people are very sort of open to alternative therapies and to kind of group experiences and just kind of want to try something new.
Really, really interesting.
Sue
has no words, but I think that, no, this is a really interesting trend that is happening with the low alcohol or the no alcohol or the alternative night out. And so I think this is I think it's a fantastic product and I wish you all the best with it.
It's definitely worth exploring, isn't it? Because that's what people, you know, really looking for, I think.
Absolutely.
Not me, however.
You can add alcohol to the cocktails, if you like.
That is an option. And I think it's really interesting. So go on the website, realremedies.co.uk. And thank you very much, James. That's hilarious.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm so privileged to be at the Amelie stand. And if you look up there, they've got a Great Taste Award because last year they won, not only did they win 3 stars, they won the best of the best of the best of the best of the whole of the everything. And I'm with Ramon. That must have been amazing last year for the company, Ramon.
Yeah, actually, it was a great privilege for us to win the Golden Fork of the best imported food in the UK. We worked really hard for it. We put a lot of effort in these oysters. And then for the second year, we entered to come up with the 3 stars and the Golden Fork. For us, was an amazing surprise, and we feel privileged to hold this trophy until tonight.
Well, we're going to test and see if we agree with the judges from last year who actually said they were the best oysters in the world. You don't like oysters, do you, Guy?
No, I've been dragged away from my very comfortable seat at the Food Talk booth but I'm standing in front of a beautiful, beautiful stand. There's like an inlaid ice bucket with oysters like perfectly placed in a very neat pattern. And I hear that we're going to see a bit of theatre, Sue.
Yeah, so what I might do is I might give you the microphone because you're not going to eat an oyster, are you?
Oh, I don't know. I might give it a go. They're okay. Pretty good, aren't they?
Okay. So, Ramon, show me how you smoke an oyster here. So you've got to open an oyster first.
Yeah, we're going to go through the opening process, which is you get the oyster in that position, correct? Then using the right mechanism and the right tools, it's quite simple to open an oyster. It's not as hard as
people. Well, I've done that, and it's never gone that smoothly. I've only cut my hand off.
Well, experience is an important part of it, but as we say, you don't require a lot of strength, it's more the technique and being used to it that will help.
And these are grown in your own oyster farm in France, is that right?
Yeah, they come from an island called Oléron, which is in the west coast of France, it's the Atlantic Sea, and the island is, as I said, you know, the island is Oléron, is the perfect place to grow the oysters. It's, they have perfect conditions, either temperature, tides, amount of phytoplankton, amount of salt in the seawater, and then that makes, you know, the perfect scenario to create the perfect oyster. But at the same time, you need to put a lot of work into it, on the selection, how you mature the process, to present what, you know, a Golden Fork potential winner can do.
Well, there we go. So it's opening it up. I'm going to pass you the microphone, Guy.
Thank you very much. So I've seen him open it up, and he's poured the water out of the shell, which is something that I've not seen before.
The reason why we do this is because this oyster is already full of flavor, and the water that you pour out is proper seawater, so it basically makes the oyster extremely salty if the oyster has already flavor itself. So the oyster that don't have that flavor, they require the salt water to support the flavor. But as our oyster already has it in itself, that water would make the oyster too salty, as the only thing that is seawater, so that's why.
Very interesting. Maybe that's the thing that I don't like about oysters, but I'm also not a huge fan of the texture. But we're going to watch it be smoked now. So he's putting the shell into what looks like a glass dome. Kind of, it has a bowl on the bottom, and then like one of those things you would get with a fancy meal, where they put the
see through.
So it's made of glass, bedded on some ice, and he's got some very fancy looking gadget here, which he's setting fire to. We'll have to find out what he's actually smoking in the top, and the smoke is being pumped into the glass dome. It looks absolutely amazing.
Smells, you can smell as well. It almost smells like wood chips, actually.
I need to get closer to have a sniff of this. Yeah, very subtle, but...
Lovely, lovely. So this gives... this isn't making it heavily smoked. It's just giving it a light smoking touch, isn't it? It's not hot or anything.
It's important to say that the wood that we are using to smoke the oyster is the oak that travels inside the box itself every time with the oyster. So what we do with that oak that travels in there to bring humidity to the box while it's in the fridge, we then dry it off so it already has a bit of essence of the oyster, then cut it in very small pieces, and then because it's very dry, we can use it to smoke. So it's the same wood that travels with the oyster that smokes it itself. So that's a bit of the history of the box itself is delivered to the oyster itself.
They think of everything, don't they?
They really do. And now I can smell the smoke very, very strongly. It's absolutely stunning. And he's about to lift the glass dome off the top. Ooh, this is maybe not a great one for the radio, but it does look stunning.
It does look amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
And the smell is...
Am I going to eat this now?
It's like a campfire.
He won't let me just take it out. He's got to do his posh serviette and everything. Can't help himself, can you, Ramon? Thank you. So please talk. Don't watch me do this.
So it's not the most graceful thing in the world to eat. Sue's just turned her back on the camera as well. it is quite amusing. You had to be here. But the smell is still fantastic.
He's just telling me off. I'm eating it the wrong way round, apparently.
How are you supposed to eat the oyster, Ramon?
Exactly how she ate right now, because she was trying to take it from the back, and you're going to eat it from the front. But it's okay. There's always a learning process.
Always a learning process. Sue still has a mouthful of oyster, but maybe she has a few words in her to explain what it tastes like.
So what you get is you get a little bit of the wood smoky taste to start, but that's very, very subtle. Then that goes completely. And it is very naturally salty. Not horribly salty, but naturally salty. And very, very fine tasting, I would say. Mm. So when you get something like Whitstable Bay oysters, they're very creamy in texture. This is very, very, very fine, I would say.
Really, really interesting. Any final words, Ramon?
Yeah, just we would like to thank the people from The Great Taste. I'd like to thank Food and the Specialty and Fine Food for putting on a great show. And we're really, really, really proud to be here. And we hope that this works for us and we can nearby see everyone in London in the finest restaurants.
And where, if you're a restaurateur and you really want to have these amazing oysters in your restaurant, where should people go to find out about you?
Well, obviously we have just come meet us at the stand. We'll provide you some business cards and some contact details as well as our website. If not, we have as well social media as a Facebook or Instagram that we can get directly contacted by there. So we have a very easy way to get contact. As long as you want to work with us, we're happy to work with you.
And the company's called Amelie, Amelie.
Fantastic stuff.
Thank you, Ramon.
Thank you.
So there you go. And that's just scratching the surface here. I mean, I'm looking over at the moment at Jiminy's Insect Snacks are right opposite here. So I've been going across and eating a few mealworms in between. So we've now got two, again, of my favourite suppliers here. The first one is Ice Kitchen, who make lollies. Lovely, lovely grown-up lollies, and we should have more of those around. And the fabulous St. U Company. And again, the sort of companies that we're seeing are those that are really focusing on health, focusing on those things that are going to help people who may have specific conditions, and creating a fantastic company out of it. So here we go. I'm with Michelle McLaughlin, and she's from Ice Kitchen. You're the operations manager. Is it your company?
It's not. No, Cesar Roden is his company, but he's not around today. He's not feeling very well, so I'm the substitute.
Oh, what a shame. We're going to have to be on the radio instead of him. Right. Now, we've got ice lollies in front of us. Now, I do like a good ice lolly. I think it's a childhood thing. Do you like ice lollies?
Yeah, I don't think I can remember the last time I had one, to be honest. But, you know, I'm liking the idea of a grown-up ice lolly, grown-up packaging, grown-up flavours as well.
There's not enough ice lollies in the world. I don't think there isn't. There's not enough ice lollies in the world. You know, there's so many ice creams, but not enough ice lollies.
That is true. There's four in front of us, and so we'll just have to have a notch on those.
So we've got a whole range, and the company's called Ice Kitchen. And actually, what's really great about Ice Kitchen, they've got loads and loads of point of sale, because if you are going to do this type of freezer product, you know, you've got to supply that, haven't you, for distribution. So they've got these great branded freezers and A-boards and flags and posters and all that sort of stuff, and some good marketing materials. Because if you are a retailer, it is point of sale for this sort of thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, definitely. Because we're still a fairly new brand, we need to really shove that in people's faces, even from outside the shop, to say that they're available here. It's key, really, to show everybody
just how gorgeous they are.
Yeah.
And your packaging is great. So the packaging isn't see-through. But every packet shows exactly what the ice lolly looks like inside. And when I was a kid, ice lollies were, well, Zoom was the zenith of having, you know, the most expensive ice lolly you can get. And you probably weren't even born then, Guy.
Maybe before my time. I remember a cola ice lolly, like cola flavoured, just like really plain and boring, cheap as chips.
No, that's not very good. No, it's the one where, you know, you have the red at the top and then the white and then the green, yeah.
Oh, isn't that the fab one? Oh, no. I remember the rockets. And it was just coloured water, really.
How dare you? Yes, I think it was. Of course it was. But this isn't just coloured water, is it? So we've got two in front of us. We've got the first one we've got is Mojito Poptail, for which you've won a Great Taste Award.
We have, yes. We have two versions of the Mojito. We've got the alcohol one, which has got a massive 1.83% ABV, or we have a non-alcoholic version, which you have in front of you today. That won one star at the Great Taste Awards last year, and last year we won four awards. We won two two-star awards and two one-star awards. We won one this year and one in 2014, so we've got six.
And that's for ice lollies. That's incredible.
Yeah, as far as we're aware, but please, nobody Google this, we are the only independent ice lolly company in the UK to have that many Great Taste Awards. But like I said, please don't Google that.
So I'm going to get Guy to try the Mojito. Do you mind if I try the peach and hibiscus? Now, this looks gorgeous, so I'm going to open it. And what's yours look like? Oh, yeah.
Just having a rustle.
Also, when you were a kid, lolly sticks were good. You used to be able to make stuff with them.
You used to make stuff. They had jokes on them as well. Do you have jokes on these? But they're for adults.
No, they're
guess,
for adults. Now look at that.
Oh yeah. This is fantastic. So it has got that kind of, you know, the see-through-y translucenciness of your classic ice lolly, but I can see a piece of lime kind of nestled inside. Sue's is a little bit more kind of opaque, but
I've got definitely peach at the bottom of this one. So right, tell us what the protocol is. Is it a lick or a crunch?
We found it's 50-50. Some people bite, some people lick.
And
I'm a biter.
I think I'm a biter. What about you?
I'm a sucker.
I know you're a sucker. So, how's your mojito?
It's really nice. It's got a really limey zing to it. Yes. But also it's got a nice bit of sweetness that counteracts that. Yes. Really, really good.
Mm. I'm on the... it's really difficult to speak, isn't it? I need a nice lolly.
We've not thought this through at all.
No, I'm on the peach and hibiscus. Wow, that's nice. Mm. Very tart, very fruity. Fruit, but not sweet.
Yes. But both of those actually are our lowest, some of our lowest caloried ice lollies as well. The peach and hibiscus has 41 calories, and the mojito has 66 off the top of my head. But the mojito is freshly squeezed lime juice, so that's why you're getting that really big kick. And the hibiscus is freshly brewed hibiscus tea, like traditionally from Egypt in the Middle East. So we do everything ourselves.
Can you hurry up with that? Because it's like a big chunk of, what is that there, lime?
Yeah, it's a big piece of lime.
So can you eat that?
How am I going to eat that?
Can you just go down the side of it? No, go down, that's it. Right, chunk. Right, tell us what. God, that actually is a piece of lime in the middle. Are you supposed to eat that or just look at it?
We've seen some people eat everything, including the rind as well sometimes. But it's entirely very much for visual purposes only. But
so that's a real piece of lime right in the middle of your mojito. That's probably what gives it that great taste.
Yeah, oh, it does taste so fresh, and it's like, you know, it's like eating a frozen mojito. It really is.
I think these are absolutely marvellous. Where do people get these? I'm sorry, I can't speak.
In the UK, we're available in Cook, the frozen food shops, Eat, the sandwich chain, Wyvale Garden Centre, Squire's Garden Centres, Simply Fresh, selected Whole Foods stores and various independents around the country. We are available in Super Value and Londis and some central stores in Ireland, in a quite a big candy shop chain in the Netherlands.
This is all a bit weird.
And rather randomly, we're in South Korea as well.
So how did you get into South Korea? Because this packaging we've got, I've seen on your stand, has got South Korean writing on the back.
Yes, it's even more weirder that they sell it via a home shopping channel, which is just it's just
brilliant.
Yeah,
really,
that's quite incredible.
Yeah, the apparently a third of all food consumption in South Korea is via these home shopping channels because everything is so wired. Their home shopping channels aren't just on the TV; they're literally at bus stops. Anywhere where you have to queue for ages, and their distribution system is amazing. You can have something delivered within a couple of hours. So we've had a couple of shows so far, and they've done well. But if it's a hot day, and they kind of jump on that bandwagon, that people could have lollies delivered to them within a couple of hours on a hot day.
Brilliant, and it's not your own distribution system. It's the local postal system, but probably not postal, but you know.
Definitely. Yes, we don't have anything to do with that.
So how did you get into South Korea? Well, have you got a connection there, or how did that work?
No, it was just by fluke. I think somebody just came over to London and tasted one of our lollies down at the South Bank Centre and got talking to us, and a couple of months later we were there.
Well, I think they're lovely, and we should have more lollies in this world, as I said earlier. Loads and loads of flavours, so orange cheesecake, blueberry, there's a mojito, obviously, Earl Grey tea, iced coffee, oranges and lemons, loads and loads of lovely, lovely things. So if you're a retailer, maybe the summer's just about over now, I'm not sure, might get an Indian summer, you never know. Sort of thing I think you should be really having in your retail store. And where do we go to find out about Ice Kitchen?
If you go to www.icekitchen.co.uk, or if you email info@icekitchen.co.uk or michelle@icekitchen.co.uk, and yes, we'll get back to you.
Michelle will give you a personal answer. Thanks, Michelle, for joining us. Cheers.
Thank you very much.
I'm at Speciality and Fine Food Fair with Guy Routledge. I walked past the stand yesterday, actually, on the Sunday, first day, and it's a stand that said St. You, and...
Like the sheep,
yeah. And there was loads of people around it, but there was this thing about these eggs that are more nutritious than other eggs. Do you know, can you work that one out?
That sounds absolutely fascinating. I would hate to sound like a layperson, but I thought an egg was an egg was an egg, and you can fry them, scramble them, poach them, or a few other different things. But this sounds really, really fascinating.
Yeah. So I'm joined by Rebecca Tonks of St. You. Explain to me why your eggs are more nutritious. You know, how do you make that happen?
Well, chickens are amazing animals, and a chicken will produce really good eggs if you give her really good food to eat. It's the same as for a human, you know, you are what you eat. So we feed our hens a particular diet which has high in selenium, which is a mineral found in soil. It's quite deficient in the UK and in Europe. And we also feed them algae, which is very high in DHA, omega-3 fatty acids as well. So we have super nutritious chickens, and they deposit all that goodness into the eggs. And we test those eggs every 12 weeks to make sure that the levels are high of selenium and DHA omega-3.
So you've literally got super chickens in a way that probably the most pampered chickens in the world, just so that what you feed them going in means that actually does is reflected in the egg.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we have super nutritious hens, and it's the way it works. Hens are a wonderful way, have a wonderful way of absorbing really good foods and deposit those into the eggs.
And sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, so it's the same minerals and nutrients and all that you put into the food that is then present in the eggs when you harvest the egg? I don't even know what the word is.
They lay eggs, Guy.
I know
they lay eggs. They have to pull them out.
But you collect them, harvest them.
Please ignore him. Can you answer that question or not?
Yeah, so it's exactly that, really. So we collect the eggs every day.
So
it's those eggs that are full of the goodness. So we've got particular hens on a certain diet, which means that one flock we have ultra nutritious eggs, and other flocks we've just got kind of everyday eggs as well. Don't get me wrong, every egg is super nutritious, but we've just got one particular brand, which is our Boost the Roost brand in a red egg box. Selenium is an amazing antioxidant, and a lot of antioxidants are red, so it just made sense to put the eggs in a red egg box, really, to highlight that fact.
And if you're a chicken on your farm, can you vote to be in the super boosty one or not?
Yeah, I don't know if we get a lot of choice in that matter, because we'll have a couple of hens that will walk across the road and go into the hen house as they please. So, yes, we've got some very, very naughty. They're over 100% free range. They help themselves, yeah.
That's really great. Now, I know you wanted to do this for a very particular reason, because your family is somewhat deficient in a certain health way, and that's what boosted your interest in this. Did you see I used the word boost there?
Yeah, fantastic. So yeah, our family unfortunately suffers from a weak gene which causes pancreatitis from quite a young age, and my father and my son suffer from it, and also my cousins. So we were looking at a way of trying to eat ourselves well, really, and really increasing the antioxidant level in our bodies to build the cell wall to make sure they're strong. So when the pancreas is under trauma, it doesn't do too much damage to the cell wall, because later on in life we're much more susceptible to pancreatic cancer. This is what led us down the road of adding selenium to the feed. Selenium is a great mineral, and it is deficient in the UK diet overall, and therefore it seemed a sensible thing to do.
It makes perfect sense, and we find a lot of food producers, there is something like that kickstarts them into a particular range, doesn't it?
Yeah, in many cases, and it's that problem solving thing, isn't it? And we see, the best businesses out there are the ones who, they either have a massive problem that they've want to solve for themselves, or they just stumble across something, and this is a great example of that.
Can you also tell me, Rebecca, what's the difference between free range and, do they call it barn something eggs? I do go out my way to buy free range, because I'm worried about chickens being in a barn being fed loads and loads of antibiotics, which I end up consuming myself. What's the actual definition of free range as far as you're concerned?
Well, free range, we're all our farms and contract farmers are also all 100% free range. It's quite important to us. It is the kind of closest, I think, to the natural way of hens being able to perform their natural in their natural habitats, really. All our hens across the board range really well. And I think that it's nice for the hen to be able to, if you're happy hen, you're going to produce a happy egg. So that's all good. I don't know huge amount about barn eggs, because I've not worked in that kind of sector before, but the barn hens are, still treated very well. I don't think there's any kind of discrepancy in that sector, but
it's just they don't go outside.
They just don't go outside. Yeah,
can't be right, can it?
Well, we're happy with producing free range, so yeah.
Eat free range is my personal opinion. You've also got an egg called Rich Yolk.
Yeah, now our Rich Yolk egg is we feed the hens marigold and paprika pigments in their chicken feed, and they then deposit that into the yolk. It gives them most beautiful, rich colour, and people eat with their eyes. And it ticks the box.
And you've got a hashtag called Yolk Porn.
That's our marketing manager. I nearly died when she said, "Oh yeah, you've got to have that." And I was like, "Oh really?" But it is Yolk Porn, I have to say. I'll bring some eggs up in a moment, and you can see what I mean.
I think you do. When I quite often have boiled eggs and soldiers in the morning after I come back from the gym. I'm starving, hungry, and the colour of the yolk somehow seems important. You know, just the way you do eat it with your eyes.
Yeah, and I've seen them from all sorts of different ranges, from very very pale yellow all the way up to almost like a bright orange. I would say that the more vivid one sounds like it's a better thing. You know, it's richer on the eyes, maybe richer inside. But I don't know, how does the colour tend to marry up with the nutrients or the flavour?
I think it varies slightly with breeds of chicken, and it also is perhaps more dependent on what's in the chicken feed, you know, as to the colour of the yolk. So lots of farmers now will have a bit of pigment in the feed, but also our Boost the Roost egg that we feed the algae for the DHA omega-3, that naturally the algae in turn turns, the, for some reason, enhances the yolk colour. And I don't know, there's not enough research at the moment because it's quite a new thing to feed algae to hens.
At least it didn't turn it green, so that's pretty handy.
Thank God for that, yeah.
I was going to say, how do you come up with these, you know, combinations of things? Is there lots of testing involved, or did you just say, right, we need more of this selenium, so we'll just put some in and see what happens?
No, the selenium actually it's been used in the agricultural sector for many, many years, and it's used. Selenium is also great for fertility, so it's for spermatogenesis, which helps sperm swim, basically makes them stronger. So it's been used for flocks of sheep and that sort of thing in the farming industry for many years, and just not really used for for human consumption.
Guy, I don't want any comments about that from you. Thank you very much.
I was just listening peacefully. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly right. We're moving swiftly on from yolk porn and sperm swimming. Liquid egg. Now, we've been doing some work with Black Cow and also Toast Ale. And what they've been doing is looking at how do we rescue food, make sure that we don't throw food away. So Black Cow Vodka, for example, he's a cheese farmer and was throwing away lots of the whey. And was trying to work out what to do with it, and he's ended up making vodka with it, which, by the way, tastes amazing. And the same with you. You've got, and naturally you would have a bit of wastage with egg production, and it was upsetting you, wasn't it, throwing away all these eggs?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're quite fussy in our packing centre with the quality of egg that we put in our boxes. So we do have quite a few seconds that we pull out with shell imperfections and that sort of thing. And we obviously, we go to town on nutrition. That's our thing. You know, you are what you eat, and making sure you've got high quality food isn't cheap to do, and it seems sensible then, rather than sending eggs off to a massive processor where everything gets mixed up, we're not, you know, maximizing what we're doing with all our second grade eggs. So it seems sensible to set up a pasteurizing plant, so we've got all our beautiful rich yolk eggs don't pass muster for the shell side of things, that go into the pasteurization plant, so we can now produce 100% free range, 100% provenance of the West Country, and in liquid egg, yolk, white and whole egg for the catering.
And that's for the catering industry, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And how do people get hold of that if they are in the catering industry? Because, if you're going to run a restaurant and maybe, you know, you want to get the provenance right and all that sort of stuff, you don't want to just buy in a load of egg yolks which have all been mixed together. You don't know where they come from. With yours, it's absolute top grade. It just probably is the shell is the thing that's let it down. So where could a catering company get hold of that?
We currently deal with a few distributors in and around London and throughout the West Country. So the best thing to do is really to contact us, and we can find the best route.
Perfect. Well, I love the sound of this. I haven't tasted any of your eggs, actually, and I have to say I haven't seen any of yours, but I live in the southeast, which is quite away from you in Cornwall. But where are these available at the moment, these St. U eggs?
So we've been selling our Boost the Roost eggs through Ocado for a couple of years now, and we've actually they've just listed the rest of our range, so you can now get some new eggs via Ocado for the cover of the southeast.
Brilliant. So I should be right on there getting my Boost the Roost red packet eggs, make sure I'm getting my selenium up there and everything. And it's Saint, so it's that as in Saint, S-T dot, and then U-E-W-E. And your website?
Yeah, that's saintu.co.uk, so fairly straightforward.
Well, I think they're doing wonderful things. Are you impressed, Guy?
Very impressed, and I think I'm going to be going to grab one of each of these and do a bit of a taste test, because I'm just really interested to see how the difference of the nutrients makes the egg taste. Really, really fascinating.
We support Pancreatic Cancer UK, so every carton of eggs, of Boost the Roost eggs sold, we donate 5 pence to the charity, as that's quite dear to our hearts. So that was our good
excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rebecca, and really good luck with it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
There you go, Guy. That's the first day over with. I've had oysters for breakfast, followed by beef broth, I've had some mealworms over there and a few crickets, and I've had chocolate, and I've had some breakfast stuff and some meat and a little bit of cheese. What about you?
It's hard to believe that there's so much health food around, because that sounds like the least healthy meal I've ever heard of. But then I started with gin, so I can't really talk. We've seen some absolutely amazing producers today. I've just been wandering around, and there's just so much here. It's such an exciting time to be part of the food industry.
I think it is, but I think what's coming across to me is, I mean, you've got 700 people here, none of whom are rubbish. They're all good and all got great brands. But trying to stand out is really tough. And I would say that if you're going to do this, you've got to be better than everybody else. You've got to look better than everybody else. You've got to stand out because the competition is tough.
It really is, yeah. It's almost overwhelming, actually, when you walk around a place like this, because there is so much variety. There's so many interesting products, so many interesting flavours from so many different countries. Just trying to take it all in, it's a lot to handle.
You can have dinner tonight.
I think I'm going to go make some bread.
Yes, good for you. I'm not sure I'm going to eat any dinner tonight. I just might flop in front of the television with a very fat stomach and a glass of wine. But we're back here tomorrow.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great one.
Okay, thanks for joining us. And if you're still around, you should be making sure that you're at Speciality and Fine Food Fair every year if you can, because it is the place to see what's new and different. See you next week.